Dr. John Bronchio is the Director of Regional Psychological Services in East Lansing, and you can check out Dr. Bronchio's website at drjohnb.com. Good morning, Dr. Bronchio. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. I guess like everyone else, I'm adapting to the cold weather we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, and the high temperature, the projected high, according to WILS's Mike Ellis, is 17. That actually feels quite balmy when you consider the frigid air we've been dealing with the last couple of days.
So much of life is perspective, and I guess you're right. It will be a little better today.
Yeah, it's going to go back down, though again after today, but we'll focus on that another time. Let's talk a little bit about ADHD. For those who don't know, what is ADHD? What does it stand for, and what is it exactly?
Well, it's attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and it actually, the official definition really has three parts to it. Three separate diagnoses. One would be attention deficit, predominantly inattentive, and then the attention deficit would be predominantly hyperactive, impulsive, and the third would be combined. A lot of times people will say ADD, thinking that relates to the definition without the hyperactivity, and others think when you use ADHD, you're including the hyperactivity, but really the official definition is attention deficit disorder, hyperactivity, ADHD, but it includes three separate diagnoses. And it's a psychoneurological disorder that impacts a person's ability to focus, pay attention, and really get through life in a way without looking at things 100 different ways and just having trouble settling down and getting done what has to be done.
Is this something that is mostly common in adults, more so than children?
No, it begins in children.
Okay.
You don't really develop it as an adult. 30-70% of children that have ADHD, when they become adults, they continue to have the symptoms. There are a number of them, persons that don't, but 30-70%, and no one's exactly sure. But it's it would be roughly that much. So many, I'd say in our office, probably 30% or more of the evaluations we do are of adults.
Do people outgrow it?
Well, some do actually. In terms of the problems they have when they're younger, they're able to either compensate or just developmentally, as the person gets older, they just tend to not be a problem. And also many people that have the symptoms have learned to cope with them, and actually it can be a positive thing, because if you have more energy than more people and you're able to do a whole bunch of things with a lot of energy, you're better off if you can learn to control these things. So this is why a lot of people that have the symptoms of ADHD can actually be very effective in life if they're able to harness the hyperactivity, impulsivity, the lack of attention, the lack of focus that are the hallmarks of persons with ADHD.
What are some of the common myths about ADHD? And at the same time, on the flip side of that, what are the facts about this disorder?
Well, I think some of the myths are that the problems are just poor parenting, and that's just really not true. Obviously, effective parenting will positively impact on anyone, okay, in a good way. But if you have troubles with focus and inattention, it can really be a very difficult life for you. The hyperactivity, it can often lead to risk-taking, the desire for more action, more activity. So one of the myths is parenting. A second one is that you just outgrow it, okay? That's really not true. A third one is that you automatically have all kinds of other problems if you have ADHD, and this can be true. They're called comorbid. You can have anxiety, you can have depression, bipolar, you can have other conditions. But there are a number of people that just do have the diagnosis of ADHD. There's a concern it's overdiagnosed. I guess you can always have a situation where someone can be diagnosed with something that it could be anxiety, could be some different diagnosis. But as a whole, I don't really think that's true, because there are a lot of people in life that younger people will even talk specifically that just can't focus, can't pay attention. They seem to want to. They have goodwill, but they're not able to. So the overdiagnosis, I don't think that is really true, except in some cases. The other is that over-medicated. I think you may have some persons that are over-medicated that can result, I believe, in the wrong medication. Okay, it can also relate to the inappropriate dosage of medication. So I think it depends on the person. I don't think medication is a first approach, but it can certainly be helpful for many, many persons. Now, as far as what it is, it's a psychoneurological disorder. It's something that impacts on your ability to really be able to focus, get things done in a significant way. It hits anywhere from you'll hear from 3 to 100, 5 to 100 in terms of incidents. I would argue that probably in any classroom you're going to have one person who has some of the symptoms. You tend to have more boys than girls, and I think that may be part of it neurological in terms of just more of the hyperactive. I think it's true that the inattentive person often is not going to be noticed as often because they're just not as disruptive as can be the person who's getting up and moving around all the time. It's a diagnosis and a condition that is helped by many with medication. It's also helped by many with some type of cognitive terms of restructuring of how you're approaching things, trying to set up a world like in school or at home where they're cues the person has told before things occur that this is going to be happening to try to kind of keep them in focus. Because often if they're focusing on something, they really have trouble just going from one thing to another, called transitions. So it's a condition that can be very, very difficult. And if you have seen persons like this, and you certainly have, you've often thought they just couldn't quite focus, they were in the ozone layer, or they're just risk takers or this or that. And it's actually a condition, ADHD, that with appropriate medication or counseling or some combination, that the person can really be helped to function more effectively. And I know many of the people that we've worked with in counseling or doing assessments who, with or without medication, have really made a lot of success in life. And we also find a lot of the children that we diagnose that the parents will say, well, we have the very same situation. We can end up diagnosing a parent. And I might add, you have a 25 to 35% chance. This is another one of the statistics, maybe not completely accurate, but certainly one that is used, that if someone in your family has the ADHD, then you have a chance of having it. It seemed to certainly run in families. We've certainly seen that be the case many times over the years.
And Dr. Braccio, before we let you go, for those who are diagnosed with ADHD, is medication an absolute requirement?
No, it is an absolute requirement. It can be helpful for many people. Generally, the stimulants are the ones that are used. It doesn't kind of make sense at one level because you're kind of stimulating, but what you're really doing is allowing the person to really focus. But there are also persons who use antidepressants, some can use anti-anxiety. There are different things that impact the person. The stimulants tend to be the most effective, but there are many people that don't need the medication, are just able to learn how to focus, organize, plan, and put their life in more effective order. Totally depends on the person, their chemical makeup, circumstances, and the environment they're in.
And you can check out Dr. Braccio's website, drjohnb.com. That's drjohnb.com. Dr. John Braccio, Director of Regional Psychological Services in East Lansing. Dr. Braccio, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Rich, always a pleasure, my friend. Bye-bye.